Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
It's time for the week trending. Joining us from Galway, Idel Coffey, a newspaper columnist and author of the acclaimed novel Breaking Point. And also Lorcan Nine is in studio with us here in Dublin, head of training at the Communications Clinic. And I'm going to start with you, Lorcan, because when the Dáil decided to mark International Women's Day, which is today, but they did it earlier in the week because there's no Dáil sitting today. When the minister who's in charge of equality and various things like that got up to read a statement about International Women's Day, Roger O'Gorman, how many people were in the Dáil chamber to hear him?
Very few.
There were none to start with, Lorcan. When he started, there was nobody there.
People arrived. People arrived as he started speaking and going through. Look, I think you get stories like this from time to time of, look, there was nobody in the Dáil for it and how disgraceful that was. But why would they be there? Like, what would they be there? A lot of the time,
if they're not there, what's the point in having 2.5 hours devoted to discussing International Women's Day if there's nobody there to discuss it?
Because a lot of the time, it's politicians reading into the records their thoughts, releasing the speeches that they did and bringing it through. Do we want every single politician in this country having to sit through the same speeches again and again and again? If there is a policy to be discussed, if there's a policy being brought forward, a change, a piece of legislation, something of tangible impact, absolutely, people should be there to discuss it, to listen, to debate, to bring it through. But if there are statements, and I think actually Holly Cairns, when she was there and did speak, put it quite well, which is saying, I can just give the same speech I gave last year because it's the same issues that I'm talking about. The Dáil isn't necessarily changing. I don't think we want our politicians having to be at every single Dáil debate.
But hold on, that raises the question then about... Idel, please do, please do. Sorry, this is the disadvantage of you not being in the studio of Indona Galway. Please come
in. Initially, I was thinking that I don't really care about Women's Day, but then when I heard Lorcan say, why would they be there? I thought, well, why would they not be there? I understand that politicians have a very busy schedule, as do most people these days, but the reason that they organise these things is to draw attention to the inequalities that still exist. And I know that's not really a sexy topic. And I agree with Holly Kearns that, yes, every year we're still talking about the same things because they haven't been resolved. I think that's what she was saying rather than this is boring and nobody should attend. I think she's pointing out that we say the same thing every year because no progress has been made. So I absolutely think it was appalling that nobody was there. I know everyone's busy, but, you know, if it's scheduled and if the point is to sort of debate it, people should stick around for a little longer. I know it was 2.5 hours, but come on, like.
Be careful now, Lorcan, in case you start mansplaining anything to Idel here.
lest I be accused of saying that they were right to not care about International Women's Day or equality, I think I have spoken at length on this show about areas around equality and around care and around stepping up. That is not what I was saying. What I was saying is there was nothing necessarily of substance being said. And if there's nothing of substance
being said... But what's the point of the Dáil if they do spend hours on things that are of no substance?
Because it is still the people's chamber and views still need to be shared. What I'm saying is if you want everybody to be at every single discussion, okay, then that's all they're going to be doing all of the time is sitting there rather than doing a lot of the other elements of their actual job. Look, obviously more people
like
should have been
there.
Like
the vote-getting elements, for example.
Yeah, more people should have been there. The government parties should have been there for Roderick. Leaving Roderick by himself, the minister, to be there in the chamber by himself isn't great. But I'm saying you could Google it and you get stories like this time and time again. I just don't think it's as big a deal, regardless of the issue. I don't think it's as big a deal as it can be made out to be.
Last word on this too, Idel?
I do think it's a big deal, despite the fact that I don't think Women's Day is the be-all and end-all of feminism. I definitely think that there should be more respect shown to this.
Okay, Idel, I suspect you're not a fan of motor racing. Would I be right?
I'm not an expert in Formula One, no.
But that's not what this story is about, really, thankfully. Because actually, to be honest, I'm not particularly interested in motor racing myself. It doesn't involve a ball, so it's not really a sport as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, tell us about the remarkable developments in this case of Christian Horner, the guy who runs the Red Bull racing team, against whom allegations were made of inappropriate behaviour. But the twist, which has been reported in our sports news in the last couple of days, about the woman who made the initial allegations against him.
Yeah, apparently the woman who accused Horner, who most people know is married to Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell, and the woman who accused him of inappropriate behaviour has been suspended by Red Bull. So, and they've accused her of being dishonest. We still don't know many of the details. Apparently there were messages. This case is, so for people who don't know, the woman accused Christian Horner, who is the team principal, of inappropriate and controlling behaviour. Red Bull carried out an internal investigation and said that, you know, they dismissed the complaint after their own internal investigation. And Horner completely denies the allegations. So this latest development is that she has been dismissed for being dishonest, and that's all we know about.
Well, suspended, apparently, rather than being dismissed at this stage.
For being dishonest. So,
I suppose this brings up an issue, is that just because allegations are made does not necessarily mean that the allegations are correct. But I think in this case, there was a dump of emails and text messages.
And texts were
which perhaps might have added to the weight of the allegations that had been dismissed. And there would be a fear sometimes that people would have, if they tried to be a whistleblower, that they can be punished for whistleblowing.
Yeah, and we've seen that happen time and time again. But yeah, so after the complaint had been dismissed, this dump of texts and emails were or messages were released to both the bosses and also to media outlets. They were leaked, but it's an intriguing story, because you've got Jerry and Christian Horner kissing and hugging for the cameras on Saturday. Max Verstappen's dad came out and said that he thought that the team, you know, Horner's position in the team as the team principal was untenable. And then Verstappen Jr. Was defending his dad, saying, you know, he's outspoken, but he's not a liar. And then there's a suggestion that all this is actually about positioning for Verstappen to join Mercedes next year. So there's all sorts of levels of suggestion and rumours and intrigue going around. But
Lorcan,
really,
what do you make of this?
Yeah, look, there seems to be a separate power struggle going on as well with Verstappen. I'm now going to add to the thing, I'm the third person. I didn't watch Drive to Survive on Netflix, which I believe you now need to watch to understand Formula 1, because for me it is just cars going round and round in a circle. But I know there is more to it than that. But on this,
sorry, is it not a figure of eight like in the old Skeletrix? It should be about as interesting.
Might be more interesting. On this in particular, though, I do think there's a couple of things. Look, we don't know the truth of this. They haven't been able to even verify those texts and that dump. But like, I do think there's an element sometimes where these people, they do the internal investigations and they reach that there was a King's Council involved and it was so thorough and we did everything, as if that means, well, we've looked into it and therefore no more questions. Yeah. But of course, you still have to be able to ask questions if it was internal. I don't care who you
got to do it. Yeah, but it's a listener here who says, yeah, it's so shocking that somebody who made allegations that were found to be untrue was then suspended. In most places would want that person gone.
But we don't know they were found to be untrue. We know the internal investigation has decided to suspend. So we don't know that. So
and
we can't
don't
just
know
move
what
on.
The dishonesty claim is about.
Yeah.
Was she dishonest in terms of the allegations, or was she dishonest in terms of maybe she knew something about who released the text?
And I'm not saying one way or the other you have to come down on it, but I'm saying you can't just say, well, they looked into it and therefore we should move on. Because Christian Horner then as well gave this press conference where he was saying he demanded an end to the questions and he's drawn a line now and move on. I don't know who he is to be demanding that the media stop asking these questions. You see people doing this all the time. I think we should move on from this crisis that I'm in the middle of, that I really don't want to deal with. I think now isn't it really time to draw a line and move on. It's not your decision to decide to move on from the crisis.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll be hearing from the woman in question soon, because it can't go on for much longer like this.
I don't know, Adele, have you been watching Celebrity Big Brother to see Louis Walsh and Sharon Osbourne gossip?
No, but I'm tempted to tune in. But I was tempted to tune in until I realised that what's happening is that Louis and Sharon are gossiping about the famous people they know, who are obviously highly litigious. And so the producer just having a nightmare of just having to sort of play Birdsong over like minutes and minutes and minutes of Sharon and Louis' conversation, because they just keep itching about celebrities that they know, which is not a great
legal
situation.
I could just imagine that for the producers. They're probably there going, oh, this is brilliant. This is great stuff. This is hilarious.
But we can't People would love it. It.
But there's no way we can play this out to air, because otherwise the legal actions would be enormous.
Yeah. And they called, what did they say? So they were discussing Anna Wintour, who's the editor of American Vogue. Sharon called her a C word.
And that was broadcast.
Yeah, it's interesting. How is that not libelous? I mean, it's kind of suggesting that Anna Wintour's sort of public perception is established, let's say. But yeah, that was an interesting one. And also they're giving out about James Corden for being a networker or a social climber or something like that. And Ellen DeGeneres, Sharon made a vomiting sort of gesture. So, I mean, I'd love to be a fly on that wall. I'd love to hear what they're saying, but unfortunately it's not going to attract you to Big Brother, because you can't hear it. Yeah, can't see it, right?
I can only assume some of the juicier stuff is what's being cut out, because like I was reading, and what they said about James Corden is that they said that he was a name dropper, okay? That he's a name dropper in Hollywood. But the example that Sharon Osbourne gave was that she asked him, she said, "You've got nice shoes." And then he said, "Oh yeah, Stella McCartney."
Yeah. But like, and I was thinking when I read that, I've done that. I haven't said Stella McCartney, obviously, but I've said thanks, pennies.
Yeah.
And I was like, does that make me?
but you're not saying you know pennies. It's like, you know, you're not saying that you have a connection.
Well, I do know pennies. Yeah. Personally.
But that's not name dropping. To say that it was designed by, he's exactly, not saying Stella McCartney exactly brought them over and put them on his feet.
Unless Stella did actually bring them over and put them on his feet, which is possible. Yeah. But actually, the thing that's attracting me most is Kate Middleton's uncle, who's in there, and he's saying that he's the only person who's talking about the abdominal surgery. He's saying she's receiving the best care in the world, because as you know, that's been the only story to watch in the last 2 months, Matt.
As to where Kate Middleton
where
is.
Where Kate was, yeah.
But do you think, does he really know? Does he know the true story?
Does anybody really know, Matt? Can anybody really know? It is.
Maybe Louis Walsh and Sharon Osbourne know, and maybe that's what's been cut out.
Maybe that's the reason for the 22 minutes of Birdsong.
That Louis Walsh and Sharon Osbourne were discussing Kate Middleton's whereabouts and health.
They know where she is.
In fairness, Larkin, Louis Walsh is entertainment, isn't he? And in this respect, sometimes when he was doing the, what was it called again? The X Factor. Mm-hmm. It looked a bit scripted at times. It was like he was coming out with stuff that had been prepared a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is getting maybe the real Louis Walsh, where he just cuts loose.
Yeah, but like Louis Walsh used to be like relevant. You know, like he used to be big time. I mean, the X Factor was prime.
I think we should be
viewing.
Playing Birdsong over that. Hey, Louis Walsh, if you hear about this, we believe you are still relevant. And any suggestion that you have become in any way irrelevant is the view just of Lorcan 9 and is not shared by this programme or by this station.
Celebrity Big Brother is not at the same level as prime time Saturday night TV in the UK and Ireland. He used to be one of the biggest figures, and now himself and Sharon Osbourne, who used to be on that show together, are now in Celebrity Big Brother with the uncle of Kate Middleton, who is also trying to make himself relevant. Yeah, I can see why they need to talk about other people.
So for the week trending, we're joined by author Adele Coffey and by Lorcan 9, the head of training at the Communications Clinic. And here's a really interesting story about what Gardaí are allowed to do. Tell us about the Garda, who has been cleared of wrongdoing because he got in trouble because he gave a bicycle to an elderly man who might have needed it during COVID.
Yeah, so it's in the middle of COVID. There was a bike in the station that had been unclaimed. Elderly man needed to get around, so the guard thought it'd be a good idea to take the bike and give it to the old man because he needed it. I think very sensible. A decision to make, a very kind thing to do, a very compassionate thing to do. But the correct paperwork was not filled out. And so therefore, he was in breach of rules and regulations of An Garda Síochána. He was suspended with pay as an investigation went on. Suspended for 3 years. So he was.
It took 3 years to investigate the paperwork on a gift of a bike to an old man.
3 years for the investigation to go on, in which he wasn't able to do his duties as a guard. He was then cleared last year to a degree of it to be able to go back to kind of restricted duties, and now he's been fully cleared of any wrongdoing from it. So, like, I try not to jump down like massively on one side of these things, because obviously rules and regulations do matter. Obviously, management would have their position on this, but this is just one when you read it, you just think, like, it should have taken you 2 days.
To sort that out.
To look at it and say, look, you should have filled out the paperwork, bit of common sense, get back into work. Because there was a guard who wasn't working for 3 years. I mean, the stress and like trauma on him as an individual as well.
You hear of wrongful dismissal, Adele. I wonder, can you ever think such as wrongful suspension?
I agree with Lorcan completely on this one. It just seems like one of those things that beggars belief. The lack of common sense, the sort of disproportionality of the response to what was done, like as far as we know, it just seems outrageous. Like, don't the guards or didn't the guards used to do an auction for unclaimed?
They do. They still do on a regular basis. Yeah.
And like, I'm sure all the paperwork for that is filled out perfectly. But the idea that a local guard could not help a local elderly man whose bike was no longer usable and needed
an act of charity,
but also an act of trust and an act of community. We're always hearing about how guards, you know, don't have the trust of the community anymore, or how how guards aren't, you know, being enticed to become guards, to work for An Garda Síochána. Would this kind of response to somebody doing something like that?
Yeah, actually, I saw a report today in one of the tabloids, I think it was The Mirror, where Australia is looking to hire 200 potential policemen. And I can imagine there are people who might not have gone for the Gardaí, or who have not applied successfully for the Gardaí in Ireland, could end up now as police people in Australia instead.
Which happens in lots of different professions, doesn't it? That kind of brain drain to Australia. And look, there's a huge issue with recruitment in An Garda Síochána, and because of the retirement ages, etc., it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. And look, I can absolutely see the other side of this, which is obviously guards can't go into Lost and Found and say, well, you have a bike and you have a bike and you have a bike, all right? So obviously there has to be rules and regulations, and they're probably overcorrecting as well, just to make sure that the governance is where it needs to be. But you have to then be able to apply common sense, and you also can't have a process that takes that long to
process
for anything
at all. I think you can definitely agree, we can all agree that yes, they can't just have people giving out items willy-nilly, but they, as you said earlier, they should have sorted this in 2 days. Like, it should have been the case of just fill out the form and that's the thing done. Meanwhile, you've got a guard out of work or out of duty for 3 years. It's insane.
Okay, Adele, I hope you're writing novels for many, many years to come and that your eventual demise is decades and decades away. But if you had a book that was ready for publication, or in fact, was not ready for publication, how would you feel if you're to know that it was to be published against your wishes years after your death?
Oh, but sure, look, Matt, even the books that are ready for publication, I feel terrible about. So it's never, it's always a difficult experience.
No author is ever happy with the book they put
exactly,
out, are they?
Yeah, exactly. They never are. But yeah, we're talking about Gabriel Garcia Marquez here, who wrote 100 Years of Solitude and Love in the Time of Cholera. And an unfinished novel, or a nearly finished novel, was found in his papers a decade after he died, and it's called Until August, and it's published this month. And he had dementia, and he was writing this sort of against the clock as his mental faculties were diminishing, and he said to his sons, look, this book is just not good enough, you must destroy it. And they did not destroy it, and they've just published it now. So it's a difficult one, because as a reader, I think anybody who destroys a book or even a notebook or any kind of sketchbook by an artist or an author is just, I just think they're going to hell. But as a writer, yeah, should you respect the wishes of the writer? I don't know. But the sons said that, there's a few rough patches. And this just dropped on my door through my letterbox today. They said that there are some patches, some rough patches and contradictions, but nothing that impedes enjoyment of the most outstanding outstanding aspects of his work, his capacity for invention, his poetic use of language, his captivating storytelling, and especially his affection for our experiences and misadventures when it comes to love. It's about a woman who's been happily married for 27 years. And once a year, she goes to the Caribbean island where her dead mother is buried. And she takes a lover for just one night. I mean, I want to read this book, Matt.
Okay, but let's move to other things. We had Marion McKeown on earlier with us, Lorcan, talking about the State of the Union address by Joe Biden. But tell us a little bit about the prep that Joe Biden did for his 70-minute barnstorming performance.
Yeah, so like Joe Biden would be known for considerable preparation. On a more serious note, he preps at length. Part of the tee up the Democrats did for this, and the preparation that Joe Biden apparently did, was a call that they put up on X with six former presidents. How could he have talked to six former presidents? He asked. It's because they were six fictional presidents, Matt. It was a switcheroo in the end. It was the president from the TV show Scandal. It was Morgan Freeman, who played a president in Deep Impact. It was Michael Douglas. It was six actors who had played it. If you're going to do a kind of quite cringe-inducing video like this, that is for political nerds who would be into fictional presidents and into a president talking to them, you might as well just go all the way and do a West Wing thing. So if you're going to do it for political nerds, it just has to be Martin Sheen doing it, because if it's going to be cringe anyway, go all the way and do it. I watched the video. Badly edited. There are random laughs thrown in there of them all laughing at what the actual president said. Joe Biden doesn't actually come across that well in it himself. So it was a bit of a misstep, but as I'm sure you covered earlier on, the State of the Union itself was not a misstep. To be fair to him, Joe Biden gave a very, very strong
energetic performance. Well, we discussed that with Marion, but you know, at the same time, he's going to have to do that on every public appearance between now and Election Day, isn't he?
Yeah, and every single little slip, which always happens with Joe Biden anyway, because of the way he speaks, and he has the age has clearly impacted him to a degree. You know, any slip is going to be held up. So you can do it right 100 times, do it wrong once, and the time that he does it wrong once is what's going to impact him.
And then Adele, coming back to politics in Ireland, a celebrity of the past from Irish television, indeed a former Eurovision host, has been recruited for Fianna Fáil to run in the European Parliament elections. But guess this, during the last ad break, I asked Lorcan, did he remember Cynthia Morocco? And he said, not really, because he thinks he was about two when she hosted the Eurovision.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm not trying to be mean here or anything, but I have absolutely no recollection. And I was kind of thinking, why is she being sort of pitched as this former RTE presenter?
Celebrity candidate?
Yeah, she's worked as a barrister for 27 years, so I presume she's probably much better known as a barrister than as a presenter of the Eurovision however many years ago. So it just struck me as a little bit odd because, yes, like Lorcan, I also don't recognise or remember her as a celebrity.
Well, probably overshadowed by the fact, I think she presented the Year of Riverdance.
Yeah, which would be the clip that I would remember.
The year, obviously.
Yeah, with Jerry Ryan, I think.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, I don't think she's been picked because she's a celebrity candidate. But obviously, that's what's interesting about it on a national level. But I think the hope would be on a local level that it would be her. She's a family law expert.
Have we mentioned her name? Cynthia Nimverku.
That's right. Sorry, did we not mention her name?
I don't know if we did.
I did mention her name.
I didn't tune out, Matt, I promise.
Okay, look, we better leave it there. Thank you very much, Adele Coffey and Lorcan Nyhan, for being with us on The Week Trending.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.